Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to the Big Think Dimension with Dan and Bob Video Games.
Spanky's quest will continue until morale improves.
Oh, no.
KZ Excellent.
I'm Adverb About Noun.
And Mr. Feel.
Read and or watch Yakitake Japan.
Here on Gigaboots.
Bob and I got pseudopilled.
Yeah, you did.
The Dapple.
I was like, man, these No More Heroes games are great. Then I played Travis Strikes Again, and the visual novel parts hit, and I'm like, these are incredible. I need to play every game this man has made. This is very important shit. So important, this Friday's live stream, or rather the last Friday from when this comes out, is supposed to be Killer 7.
Unless something goes horribly wrong.
Unless something goes horribly wrong, which is how I already phrased that to someone on Twitter. I was like, yeah, unless something goes horribly wrong. That'll be what we do. But yeah, we played No More Heroes 1, 2, and Travis Strikes Again, : No More Heroes. Those games are really good. I can see why Travis Strikes Again was critically panned, but at the same time, I think they gave it such low scores that I was like, no human should play these. But I really fucking enjoyed it. I assume that game was just runs at a shit frames per second. It looks like complete ass. But no, I really enjoyed it, and it ran surprisingly smooth on the Switch. Something I definitely did not expect. I expected it to run at frame rates approximate to the open world segments in No More Heroes 3.
Yeah.
You know, 10 frames a second or some shit.
Yeah, all the reviews really led me to believe it would be basically unplayable and like give it a 3, but I think it's at least as like a 7.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about where I'd put it. Like a 7, that's like very, very good and terrible.
Yeah, there's like these incredibly bad parts you play, but then there's also this visual novel. It's really delightful.
See, there's some cool parts you play, and then there's some less cool parts that you play that are okay, and then there's some terrible parts you play.
Yes.
But then the visual novel is a 10 out of 10 nonstop the whole way through.
So this means this will be the type of game gamers will be loving 10 years from now.
So they say in their own trailer, hyping people up for No More Heroes 3. Fun fact, that visual novel thing's coming back in No More Heroes 3.
Great.
I'm so excited. It's gonna fuck me up.
Nothing is funnier than saying people will talk about this game in 10 years when you made it and you're showing a screenshot of the Metacritic at 68.
Yeah, they just blur it like it's being censored. It's really good. Yeah, as for No More Heroes, I don't know how to describe it overall briefly to people who've never seen it before. It's like trying to explain something to the blind about the color of a thing. It's really bizarre. So No More Heroes is an action game where you play as Johnny Knoxville, who's an otaku weeb and bought a lightsaber on an auction and has now become an assassin because he's interested in boning this one chick. That's the game. Tons of blood. Very funny. Very base humor. Very, very funny. Very good. Literally, Suda said, hey, Johnny Knoxville's hilarious. I'm going to show everyone in the studio Johnny Knoxville because we want our main character to channel that energy. And he shows them the clip of the tiny alligators biting, clamping onto his nipples. And everyone in his fucking dev team is just staring in silence. They're like, what are you showing us? And he's like, this is the funniest shit in the world.
It is. And all that reminded me of is, I can't wait for the new movie.
That's just really great. Yeah, No More Heroes 1 has an open world in as much as Lego Island has an open world. And
you're like, go around and pick up scorpions.
It's really funny because you know they knew how low grade it was compared to even PS2 open world games. But it's really enjoyable. Those ports on the Switch are far more respectable than I thought they would be. I was worried those two would run poorly, but 1 and 2 run pretty good, and they're 1080p, so that's a pretty good way to play that game. I hear the PS3 version is a terrible way to play that first game, but I need to see it myself.
Right?
I'm now getting too curious. I have it on good record that certain Suda enthusiasts have only played that version. And I guess we'll announce it here. Why not? Unless something catastrophic happens, and then KZ has to edit this out.
Mm.
This Thursday's podcast will be a day early, and will be a Gamer Premonitions for No More Heroes 3, co-starring Gil from Galeria on Twitch.tv, and Thor from Thor High Heels. So please be excited for that. It will go up Wednesday instead of the usual Thursday. That podcast is something.
Yeah, there are a lot of bombs that went off in that one as I listened and controlled the controls back here in the studio.
Controlled the controls. He's surfing the web.
Yeah,
he's nowhere near the actual recorder.
Yeah. Surfing the web a little bit.
We got some deep cuts. We have some deep analysis of marketing material. We have some complete disregard for any marketing material on the actual game. It's really good.
That
it's
one
really
seems
good.
A little weird.
It was fantastic. And man, what a good time. So please look forward to that. I was like, yeah, I'm going to let someone else buy No More Heroes 3 and see how that goes. Now I'm like, I need to get that on launch day. How do I get that on launch day? Does Switch digital games come out at midnight? How does this shit work? I don't even know.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
So it'd be 11 for us.
But then I don't get a box to sit on my collection.
That is true. And that's a good box.
It is a good box. It was actually designed by the person who did The Boys.
Of course.
Yeah, I was like, that's fucking awesome, my man. He was like, yeah, I designed it to sort of look like classic arcade machines, like how they had those really tall side panel art. And it's funny because KZ was like, yeah, that's just Street Fighter Alpha or Alpha 2's art.
Yeah, that's the Alpha 2 art of Ryu looking at Akuma. Instead, it's Travis looking
at
it.
Fu.
Yes.
Fu being ET incremented one letter each. That's so stupid. I love it. God. F you. That game's going to be really fucking incredible. And I really enjoyed all our time with all of those No More Heroes games. That was a perfect palate cleanser after Ninja Theory Week. Absolutely perfect. It's like a wine pairing. That's what it felt like. It debrided off of my soul all this fucking garbage.
First drink literal turpentine, now here's some wine.
Yes, first you eat literal dog shit, then you drink this wine. That was great. And I god, those are good. Please watch those when they eventually make their way over to YouTube. Fun fact, Bob.
Yeah, what's up?
The Travis Strikes Again stream is the only stream so long that YouTube can't have it in a single video.
Yeah, of course. That thing was 14 hours.
That thing was ridiculous. Yeah, I think in total, because we did the DLC as well, it ended up at almost 15 hours.
God.
Man, I'd hate to be someone who streamed for 15 hours.
Yeah, that would be terrible. That's been good. We got the CRT moved over here, so we played a bit of stuff on that, like Driver, the original, which is really good. We also did the Ergy sound test, where you hook it up on the CRT and the OLED, turn on all the speakers, and then just whip around on that menu. Made for a good Twitter video. And that's about it for what I played. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
You been playing things?
Yeah, I've been trying to play some things.
That's good.
I booted up Street Fighter V because they did that update.
That's right.
Yeah, they put in Oro and Akira. And they also, they did some other little updates with this. Like Sakura, for some reason, on the character select has a new, like slightly remodeled face in different pose. It's very strange. I don't know why they did this, but this game is on its end of life. So it's a really weird update. They did also for the new story segment for Akira. They have Ibuki in it, but they had to get a new voice actress. I guess the old one retired or something.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah, so now she's Christina V. Works. It's super weird, though. It's very strange. I don't know why it's like that. New character seems fun, though. I did not play that much. I was booting up for those oddities I heard about with the changing of the face and getting new voices and stuff. But I do want to put more time into it. I wish they would just do a PS5 version. Make this a little bit more acceptable to play, because
yeah, I don't.
It takes too long to load.
Never.
Yeah, they also, as far as I know, they never actually did a PS4 Pro version,
right? Like this thing should be higher res, not have low frame rate characters in the background. I'm starting to think that they're just going to be like, all the stuff is out. Now we're going to sell a PS5 version separately. And hopefully that'll be a free upgrade for people who've bought everything. But, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath for that. I assume they'll sell it to me again like they keep doing. Because that's what they do over at Capcom.
Yeah. It's good enough to buy once. It's good enough to buy two times or three times or four.
Yes.
Or more if it's Resident Evil 4. or Okami's for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, the fact that Okami escaped PS2. But Beautiful Joe and fucking God Hand have it.
Yeah, no, they're locked.
That's so they weird.
God Hand I can sort of understand because it's so no money. But Beautiful Joe 1 and 2 obviously have money behind them and would look fine just cranked up in resolution.
Yeah, I feel like these things should have escaped to anything at least once ever.
There's also the none of the Onimushas other than the first one.
Except
like,
one.
Yeah, I'm like, I get two. Two has all sorts of weird stuff with the actors. Just skip. Go to three and Dawn of Dreams.
Yeah, but three has Jean Renault in it. So that opens a whole new can of worms.
Yeah, but he's still alive. I figure there's probably... That could probably be worked out. He's even in somewhat cheap movies that go straight to Redbox.
They go straight to Redbox in America.
They could probably work something out.
Who knows about overseas?
Oh, no. That didn't look like it went to theaters anywhere.
Okay.
It looks pretty low rent.
Okay, I'll leave.
I also played... Genshin added a tower defense mode, which I thought
re-added because it's been there before.
Oh, has it? I guess I missed it entirely the first time around.
It was in the Chinese New Year from earlier this year.
Oh. Huh.
This version here is a much more sane version, though. They tightened it up a lot.
Oh, I think I remember you complaining about the last time it was here, vaguely.
It wasn't great.
Good.
Yeah, this still has...
It's a lot better
weird.
Now.
Like, you know how in tower defense games, you usually, like, can keep building towers? And the whole point is, you know, you'll be putting more and more as you go through the waves. Instead, yeah. It's like you can only build a total of 14 towers. And then you just keep rolling using your money to get upgrades to the towers. But of course, this is currency just for this mode. It's not like, oh, use your real money.
Yeah, it's your tower defense currency that you get from killing.
Yeah, killing whatever's on
enemies.
The path. But it seems neat. It's still not great.
Yeah, I played it exactly enough to get the Prima Gems, the rolling currency, and I was like, okay, I'm done, bye.
Yeah, that's probably where I'm going to sit, was that I just did enough for that as well. I'm like, I don't really feel compelled to go back because it takes too long.
With most tower defense games, once you get set up, you're like, okay, I'm going to hold the speed up button.
Mm-hmm.
But that it doesn't exist in this, so you just have to kind of stand there because... The original version was set up where, like, you were intended to interfere with them with your characters.
I mean, you still can, kind of. Like, you can use your
wind. You still can, but it feels like a less of a focus because they got mad and added in, like, a ruiner monster in this one. Because I think the really high-level strats in the old one was, like, use the earth characters and just make a wall.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they added in characters like this character, this monster has an aura that just destroys Earth constructs.
But yeah, that's all I really had to say about that. It's neat, but I wouldn't like make an explicit effort to go play it if you haven't played Genshin in a while. I wouldn't say this is what's going to get you back in.
You're telling me that this isn't going to hook me on Genshin?
I don't think so.
Ah, oh, jeez. What about Aloy? Is Aloy going to...
Maybe.
Okay.
I bet she's going to have some cool mode.
I bet... Well, yeah, she comes free, right?
Yeah, you get her free.
She's free. And the thing about the new area in Azuma is that there are like machine monsters in some parts of it that hang out. So maybe it's like, here's a unique boss.
Maybe. There could be something that insane. That'd be real cool. Then you have to keep beating it to level her up.
I was like, how are they going to level her up? Because if they gave her away for free, that doesn't...
Yeah, how are you going to get her to C6?
Well, yeah, you're probably not going to... You're not going to be able to level her up for free. You'll get to max her constellation for free, probably, or by doing an event.
Right.
You know, free through the event.
Right.
But you'll probably just have to level her up normally. Like, okay, I'm going to... She requires materials from these enemies and this boss. And, like, every character in Genshin requires... gems which drop from every boss of different elements, and now you can convert them to other elements. You couldn't do that initially, so you'd have to farm the right elemental boss. A drop from those boss, which is unique to each boss, which gets weird because there's two ice bosses now, but they have different secondary drops, which different characters need. Then you need a drop from a normal enemy and something you gather. That's what every character in Genshin requires to level up. Those four things. Hmm. So I assume they'll just do that for her. Maybe they'll be like, all her stuff is really easy to get.
They're all next to each other.
Yeah, it's like all stuff from the first country where the bosses aren't very hard and you can just rinse them really, really fast.
See, here's what I'm thinking, KZ, okay?
Uh-huh.
You'll play as Aloy, right?
Sure.
And the moment you think, I need to gain a level, you'll sneak up on an enemy and it'll give you the thing to gain that level right behind the enemy.
Okay, you know, that seems like good game design.
God, damaged.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
Did you play anything else?
I also tried out a new game demo that came out today.
Smooth transition. I will mourn for your loss. What's up, Bob? What did you play?
Ultra Age.
What? Ultra Age?
Ultra Age, yes.
Not Ultra Age?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think the main character's name is Age.
What the fuck are you playing?
I have no idea. This game might be Chinese. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
We have Devil May Cry at home.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, I think we saw a trailer for it at some point during E3, but it's probably blended into so many other things. I'll be able to remember it. You play as a guy who's got a jacket looks like Nero and a head that looks like it's from the Unity store.
I'm going to look at a trailer for this.
He has a face that only the asset store could love.
Yes.
Oh, boy, that's sure how he looks.
Oh no! He's got
like
the...
we spend all our effort on making that really sick sword and the monsters he fights.
He's got the grapple hook arm from Devil May Cry 5. It doesn't work all the time. Yeah, this game is a little rough. It's going to be $30 at launch. It comes out like next month. The music is really bad, which is super disappointing. Because it's kind of a really basic action game, and I was hoping that that would, you know, make it acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But the combat's a little rough, too, of having no enemies feel like they react properly to your attacks. So a lot of times it's just like, yeah, I have to be real careful because they don't stun. They don't stagger ever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a bunch of weird RPG elements in this game. There's a day-night cycle. There's the... Every weapon, every sword type has a durability to it that you regain from finding the element in the environment. Like, you'll find steel ore. You can collect that, and that gives you a steel sword that can be broken. And then there's also, like, katana ore. I'm not sure what that one's even called. And those things respawn on a 12-hour cycle.
What?
Yeah, but... Whenever you die, it jumps forward 12 hours. So then it's respawned. Or you can use your time bracelet to make them respawn immediately, but it has some weird, like, you can only do that so often element to it. I don't know why the system is here. It just seems bizarre and tacked on. Also, whenever it's nighttime, it just looks terrible. Because they've just turned off the lights in the world. So everything just looks a little faded. But there's still... It doesn't look like it's nighttime. It just looks unexposed.
It looks brightness turned down.
Yeah, it looks brightness down. It's like you playing a game that's a day shot for night.
A day for night video game, huh? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The weird thing is the animations for the main character are pretty decent. Like,
yeah, I'm saying it seems pretty smooth.
Yeah, the combos feel okay, but all these RPG elements are just really rough and shouldn't be here, and like I said, like, just dealing with enemies that do not stop.
Well, how about this, okay? What if, say, one of these RPG elements randomly gave you a thing that made you insanely overpowered and healed you and made you give a game that was maybe not a great action game multiple points higher than all your co-os? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe give it a chance.
But yeah, I might try it more. I didn't finish the demo completely because I ran out of time before I had to come here. It's a pretty sizable chunk of game that they gave you. I do suggest downloading. It's only like 5 gigs or something. But it is rough. Yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about Ultra Age.
Oh, okay.
And the last thing I played was the Tales of Arise demo. Did anyone else give that a shot?
I did.
Okay.
Nope.
This game looks really nice.
The fact that it opens with a small cliff where you can kind of look at the vistas and like a large amount of distance, like right from the start, I'm like, yeah, you finally leveled up. It looks really.
Hey, look, area design, something we haven't had in like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Or longer.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if it's been like decent since the PS2 era.
Mm-hmm. I also like you start the demo. And it's like, which character would you like to like go through with the demo? And then despite, you know, cutscenes having only like one or two of them, they're just like, yeah, all of them are here.
So yeah, I mean, when you select a character, I'm honestly surprised they even did that. I guess it's just like, okay, this is to get in mind that you can switch these characters at any time. Because you can just, no matter who you pick, choose, set up your team entirely the way you want to, play who you want to play as in the field and in combat.
Yeah, I guess because, you know, I've seen plenty of people, even myself sometimes, where I just kind of just use the protagonist.
Uh-huh.
So I can kind of understand that. I picked, I forget his name, I picked the guy that punches, and that was cool.
Yeah, I tried to play a decent chunk with each of the characters. Mm-hmm. I think the only one I didn't like too much with the dude was use the staff. Just because he flails a little too much, and it's hard to tell when he's hitting the enemy.
And can fly into space.
Yeah, he does seem to have a thing where he can keep repeating a move and just fly directly upward.
Yes, by spinning the staff over and over
just
again.
Just like in DMC the DMC, if you use the rake move with the scythe, you can just go to the skybox.
Yep. Yeah. It did remind me of exactly that.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be some sort of limit with that because you have like art points that you can burn. But if you hit the D-pad or whatever to select another character to have them do something, it starts replenishing yours, so you can just loop it over and over again.
It does let you remap buttons, which is good, because mm-hmm. the control scheme they gave to this is a little strange.
Uh-huh, R1 for basic attacks, but face buttons for your arts, and then R2 I think for dodging.
Yeah, R2 dodges and R1's on attack, so it's like you want me to have both fingers up there at all times. Why did you do this?
Yeah,
I just moved R1 to X and then moved the other two, the R button from X to R1, and it's like, this makes 100% more sense. I'm not a crazy person.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to move that stuff, because my brain defaults to, if my arts are on the face buttons, I immediately found myself just mashing those face buttons going, these aren't normal attacks. What am I doing?
Onga bonga.
Yes. And they also, like, each character has their own thing. Like,
yeah,
the main character can hold any art that he uses,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes like a crazy fire version after he does the normal attack, and it takes health from him, but he gets any more damage.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's a shield character you can block and then immediately counterattack. And the pole guy can do a perfect dodge and get a power up to his pole, so it gets longer.
Mm-hmm.
Still flails wildly, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think the punch guy was like, he has an aura, and as he fights for longer, he just becomes better.
The mage was actually really neat. She can hold any spell, like, in a queue, and then you can use that by hitting the attack button later, or you can use the same spell again and do a charged up version of that spell that's, like, a higher level. I was like, oh man, this is real neat.
Yeah, it's all real neat. I did enjoy like all the little additions and stuff they did for that. I didn't dig into the skits too much, mainly because I'm gonna see them when I play the game, but I wanted to at least see one of them move, and I'm like, yeah, this is fine, I guess. One thing I did have kind of a bit of a problem with is how they're mixing this game, where the game music when you're in fights is mixed so low.
Uh-huh. That you just hear 100 people say the same thing over and over again constantly?
Yeah, but it feels like they're trying to, like, make the music less important compared to, like, dialogue and sound effects. And I'm like, this is... No, this sounds like it's one of the better, like, Tales soundtracks, because it's, like, fully orchestrated this time with Sakuraba. So it felt weird that it's, like... Sometimes I can't really hear it.
Right.
It just sounds like they fucked up the audio mixing like so many games do.
Yeah, but this felt like extra. I'm gonna have to change the settings.
Yeah,
it's just funny to bring up games that fuck up the audio mixing, and it's not us talking about No More Heroes 1, which literally clips the audio levels nonstop.
Or the game I played.
Unhinged.
Yes, that's true. Oh my god. So, is this a good jumping on point for people who maybe have never played?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It feels like an evolution of what they've been needing for a decade.
It really fucked me up that my friend showed me the GameCube one way back, and then you showed me the PS3 one way back, and they looked almost identical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking weird.
They feel a lot better, though. It's really, really hard to go play Tales of Symphonia now if you've played, like, the more.
I bet, but we're talking about 17 years, so I'm glad this is, like, I'm hearing multiple people say this is a resounding step up and evolution of everything.
Yeah, it's
one. They just, like, Zestiria and Berseria are just kind of embarrassing on, like, the production value and area design standpoint.
That's a shame.
Yeah, and the combat feels like it feels like an evolution of what they were doing, because they're not, like, locked in moving forward and backwards with enemies anymore.
Yes.
And there's not the bizarre choices they made with attacks and arts they did with, like, Grace's F. I feel like Tales of has had a long history of, like, why is it like this?
But this is a really, really strong improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It feels great to just move around the areas and stuff. It looks nice. Combat feels real snappy, because you're dealing combos, and then you can just hit on the D-pad to have someone else jump in and do something, and it just feels like instant, where I'm doing a combo, I launch, I hit this button, and the main character guy with his fire sword just jumps in and just slashes down. And there's a bit more elaborate finishers if you've broken the enemy, and they're like, do this to just eviscerate whatever enemies in front of you.
And they also have in this demo, they give you some pretty tough fights. Like, they actually make you engage with the combat. It's surprising.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't another Bandai Namco trick and everything else in the game is really bad.
when would that have ever happened?
Scarlet Nexus.
Oh, no! They already made the skits look worse, so this...
See, I was fine with the skits, and then I played Neo Tui, where it has, like, the same sort of thing, but with way better presentation and a shitload of sprites, and I'm like, you could have done something like this.
With 25 million less dollars.
Yeah, with significantly less money than is in Tales of Arise.
I kind of like the way the skits look, honestly. Like, seeing them actually move and stuff is neat.
I kind of just wish there was, like, any sort of presentation that showed, like, the character design's art. Where that is something, like, even in the menus, it's not there, which I kind of found a bit weird.
Yeah, they definitely are leading the way for doing that. Like, the menu is weirdly super minimalist.
Yeah, it's, like, really minimalist, because I think of even, like, Berseria, you'd open that menu, and it has, like, really cool vertical cut-ins for each character's, like, official art. And this new style looks really nice, and I was like, I'd like to see that. And even going into status, there's, like, nothing there, and it felt a little...
It's almost like with some, like when they brought Star Ocean over, Star Ocean 4, and they're like, no, they don't want to see the anime.
Yeah, I know.
That's what it feels like.
I didn't want to say it, but that is a bit of the vibe that I get from it.
Well, Namco Bandai is also the company that was like, well, you know what'll make Americans buy these Shonen Jump Arena Fighters if one looked like shit?
Motherfucker, Jump Force.
You've seen the box art for Scarlet Nexus in the US, right?
Yes. I've seen the live-action trailer for Scarlet Nexus.
God, can we not
it's
talk
2 feet
about
away,
that live-action
so yes.
trailer? That thing's so depressing.
It's going to appear in fucking worst trailers.
It should. Okay?
I haven't seen it. I need to watch it.
Oh, Bob, man, you do.
Just imagine someone in a hotel room being like, oh, cool things are happening. We promise.
That really is what it is for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, at no point does it think to stop or actually, like, it's not shitting or getting off the pot for 2.5 minutes.
And a neon sign, this is Xbox Series X, the greatest console of all time.
Yes.
I also liked...
So fucking dire.
Yeah.
They do... they have normal skits, like you can hit the R1 button or the R1 button during gameplay.
Yeah.
And see those when they pop up in the story. But they also have extra skits when you're at the campground, mm-hmm. based on what you cook, I guess.
Yes.
Which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, each character has a dish they're really good with, mm-hmm. and the dishes give you a bonus for like 6 minutes after you cook them. And those seem pretty neat of just, oh yeah, main characters uses too much spices. It's really messed up, man.
Yes.
It's real basic, but I'm like, good. I want this to be goofy and dumb. And I hope that the rest of the story doesn't make this seem infuriating like it does in Scarlet Nexus.
Well, I don't know. It depends if half your team decides to be stupid, which it's possible. I play Tales of Zestiria.
I don't think that we should judge the rest of the series on that game.
Yeah, I know, because the evil was removed from Bamco, so it's fine.
I don't think you could entirely blame Hideo Baba for that, because he did a bunch of games that were normal.
Right.
Yeah, but I absolutely will, because he left after that game, then they made a better one, so automatically that's the commonality. I figured out the X factor that was ruining the franchise.
I'm sure Hideo Baba actually wanted no money to work on this franchise for decades.
He was like, I love this.
I think Zestiria had a decent amount of money, because that's when they decided to do the really stupid or pseudo open world thing.
It certainly doesn't look like it has any money.
That's because they tried to do the pseudo open world thing as soon as 8th gen started.
Mm-hmm, and still release that on PS3.
Yeah, they sure fucking did that, didn't they?
Yeah, it ran at like 15.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it wasn't any flavor of Unreal that they made, that the engine wasn't.
Yeah, there's no way.
They made a whole new engine just for that game.
Sure they did.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
I'm sure that they called it a new engine, but it was probably whatever they were using for the Azalea, because it looks almost identical, but with bigger maps.
Yeah. Yeah, you can kind of see, like, when an engine's, like, slightly getting mini adjustments for, like, better hardware. And you can see that with the Tails one, where you hit, like, Berseria, where I'm like, every map looks slightly better, but there's little particles in the air.
Oh, wow.
So like, you go into a room, and you can kind of see, like, the dust. And I'm like, okay, you're trying to add a little bit here, but it's still the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah, they also announced for this the crossover costumes, which look really funny. Like, you get Nina Williams' outfit for one of the characters.
Yes, that was unreal. I was like, really?
In another character, just an Idolmaster outfit. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a Bamco thing.
And then something from, what's that thing that's not Scarlet Nexus that was before? Code Vein.
I was like, Astral Chain. Not owned by them.
Are you sure?
It's very Scarlet Nexus.
I think Inax owned that one.
Yeah, they certainly
No, Clara owns it now. They killed everybody who didn't.
They kept cutting it into halves until it stopped living.
Oh, that's unfortunate. But yeah, that demo is cool. I enjoyed that. I didn't dig into it super deeply because it's coming out next month, but enough for me to go, yeah.
Yeah, it's super hype. I'm glad that it looks good.
Yeah.
And that's everything I played.
Oh, okay. Hey, KZ, you didn't play any Atrocious Nightmares this last week, did you?
Well, there is an entertaining thing that I saw.
Oh, yeah?
You and Bob ate something, and then I watched you eat it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, we ate the calzone. The fucking Little Caesars calzone. This greasy motherfucking piece of shit is goddamn eating through the box. And Bob's like, I got the calzone. We need to eat it. And I'm like, I regret everything right now.
Uh-huh. You're trying to wipe it off.
This sounds pretty good so far.
You didn't have to join me, Dan.
I just...
Yeah, you did.
That thing was in the kitchen. I had to.
It was in my kitchen. Yeah. I had to partake. I had to wipe the grease off.
Yeah, that's you're underselling it. I had to scrape the grease off with the fucking paper towel. There was so much underneath it, and I don't know why. That's the part that's really getting me. Like, did they put extra cheese on it or some shit?
I don't know.
Why is this like, so much greasier?
I think it's the whatever meats they have in there, and then there's also I think some sort of sauce that's just basically oil? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why this thing was so fucking greasy, but for anyone who's a normal person who doesn't know what a fucking calzone is, imagine some dipshit motherfucker took a pizza, folded it in to make a cross, filled that shit with cheese and meats and pepperoni, and like made it the greasiest motherfucking piece of shit you ever did fucking eat. That's what the fucking calzone is, Bob. Did I do a good job?
Basically, I've never seen it this bad. Like, I didn't know how bad it was until I put the box down and then looked back and saw a line of grease.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? This is the pizza box.
Yeah, it was intense.
Based.
it was fucking intense. And I say that as someone who actually enjoys Little Caesars. So, like, I'm not sitting here and I'm like, it's shit because Little Caesars is shit. No, that thing's just grease central.
The other pizza I ordered was a double cheese mushroom pizza. Less grease.
Oh, yeah.
Less grease by a lot.
Yeah. I still don't know how they made it that greasy. Having extra cheese doesn't make any sense. But yeah, they folded it into a cross. So a lot of people, you know, posted a lot of very funny memes about it. Which prompted people in the middle of KZ stream to go, hey, did you guys know about this? Are you going to eat it for Big Thick? And Bob and I had already made the decision the day before to fucking do it. Hey, KZ, what did you play?
I think they made it wrong, though, just real quick. I think they made ours wrong. It has red sauce on it. It doesn't say it should, because they give you a cup of red sauce to dip it in.
Yeah, it's a little weird to have red sauce in it and also have a cup of red sauce to dip it in.
Drown me.
I don't know. That's pretty strange.
Mm.
Anything else, Bob?
No, that's it. That thing is kind of a nightmare.
Kind of nothing. Hey, KZ.
Hey.
Talk about it.
Okay, so I did a stream in one sitting where I played all of the 2008, 2007 classic Vampire Reign, specifically the PS3 version of Vampire Reign Altered Species, where they made Altered Species have bigger text to trick people. In case they knew that Vampire Reign was, in fact, a terrible 360 game. The intense lore behind this is that it was produced by Naoto Oshima, who is from, you know, worked at Sega, then made the developer Artoon, who you'll remember from games like Blinks and Blinks 2. But they also made this, and then eventually they helped work on an Arzest, which is the developer behind Balan Wonderworld. It's also, you know, the character designer behind that. So that was the link as to how I should play it, because it's linked to Balan Wonderworld in some way. That was a pretty bad justification, but I played it.
KZ, you shouldn't allow yourself to be cursed with this link to Balan in any way. I don't know why you did this.
Yeah,
this is weird.
Yeah, it is pretty weird, but it is very interesting to see what they came out with. You guys have been telling me to get into the Metal Gear series for a while. And a dude who looks like Solid Snake was in that game as your main character, John Lloyd. So I had to jump into that, give it a shot. So this game's concept is there are vampires. They're called Nightwalkers. And you play as a member of the American Information Bureau, the AIB. And you're part of a Black Ops unit that goes into places to kill vampires. Specifically, we went to Los Angeles for this game because vampires have just almost entirely taken over that entire city.
Well, we saw that in Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 1.
Yeah.
But they just love LA.
I thought this game might actually be hilarious and really good at the start, because the opening cutscene is a small girl vampire that is chained to the ground in the middle of a field as the sun's coming out and her teeth are growing out, and then she is saved by another vampire that has Albert Wesker's haircut and is voiced by Yuri Lowenthal. And I was like, this game might be all right. I don't know. This seems insane. What I came to realize is that this one is voice directed by Wendy Lee. All the voice actors are uncredited, but it's not a problem. Every anime and JRPG voice actor is in this game.
For people who don't know who Wendy Lee is, that is, in fact, the voice director of the really good Ava films, right? Death and Rebirth and End of Ava.
Yes.
Or just End of Ava, where they call everything Evas.
Oh, no, you're thinking of Amanda Winley.
Okay.
All right.
Which people think.
Yeah, you might have heard Wendy Lee in basically every video game ever made.
Yes. Every video game and way too much anime.
Hey,
let's see, who are you? Black to say? Rose in every dot hack.
How about the fucking the main girl in Lucky Star, Haruhi Suzumiya?
I don't remember Haruhi being in Lucky Star.
Yeah, that seems weird.
yeah, she is as a cameo.
Oh, okay, she's the main character though.
No, I was just listing different things.
But yeah, Black Rose is something I have too much experience with as of late.
She's also Yoruichi in Bleach.
Yeah, because that's that voice she does for most things. When I was doing LPs more regularly, I think we hit a streak of 5 games in a row where she was just doing the exact same voice in different games.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, she's really good. I don't know what the problem is.
It's like I played Tales of Vesperia and she's there doing that. I'm playing 999. She's playing a degenerate character in that. And it just kind of kept going and would not stop.
I hope she's in the Gunbuster dub.
Has she always been Trish in Devil May Cry? No.
Trish
but
is
she
one
is
of those that keeps changing.
Yeah, she's her in 5. But yeah. She is Leanne Caldwell from The Bouncer.
Yeah!
So it has every anime voice actor you could expect in this game, which kind of throws me off a little bit when I hear those with some of the worst writing material you could ever get of boring military shooter type thing.
Weird.
So then you'll hear like Jameson Price as this like DMC, the DMC level super vampire, or as they call them, the Prime Walkers, where he's trying to do a more high pitched voice, but then it's Jameson Price. So he just falls into doing that voice he does in every game he's in, where it's like, all right, I'm Dad Near again.
At some point you read the script and the energy just falls out of you.
So I got started with this game and many of the levels are in this urban environment of about 6 houses in a square. And they're like, okay, this is the area this mission takes place in. And the goal is usually go over there, and try not to like get killed. Do it stealthily, use guns, use your resources and stuff like that. The vampires that you'll run into, when they see you, will immediately run at you and kill you in 2 hits. And by 2 hits, I mean it's basically 1, because the first hit will deal 80% of your health, and the hit stun will be so long that you'll get hit by the second one every time without fail.
Yeah, most of the time, the first hit just puts you on the ground completely.
And that on its own, a little weird. You're going through these levels, trying your best to stealth. You can do this thing where you hit right on the D-pad to enter your detective vision so you can find which ones are actual enemies, because they're like posing as real people until they morph into fucked up vampire forms. And then that'll mark them, which then allows you on the map to see their sight lines so you'll know where they are. If you ever step on one, this awful gray effect that's like somewhat transparent of eyes appears to let you know they're looking at you. They've caught you. Which a couple times it bugged out and just kept flashing it over and over and over again because the game didn't know what was happening anymore. And sometimes it's a crapshoot whether or not they saw you enough to where they want to immediately aggro on you. It's impossible to get away because they run like a zombie from 28 Days Later at you. And which means they're about triple your max running speed. They can also jump on top of entire buildings. It's funny. We were surprised they can't clip through walls to stop you from trying to break their AI. There are 25 missions in this game, Bob.
Okay.
I learned stealth takedowns on level 8.
Great.
Level 8, they're like, you're going to use a UV knife because the light from it will kill them.
That sounds useful. Why don't you just always have one?
Because they are a battery-powered knife, and they are a resource that you just find. And the way they do that is say, there's an enemy right there we want you to kill. We will put a knife directly behind them so that you can pick it up and then use it. Because in a normal game, you'd maybe stock some grenades, maybe different weapon types that you pick up around the map or resources and then take things out as you will. These are puzzle boxes with one solution.
Oh,
and that's
I've never seen anything like this.
So it becomes this thing of pick that up, take them out. They introduce a shotgun that one-shots things. Of the 25 levels, I used it in maybe 6 missions. There'd be a mission like, you get a stockpile of weapons that we finally got to help us fight things off. Next mission, you have 1 gun. They don't explain why, you just have 1 gun now. Just pretend you used up all your bullets.
Yeah, what killed me is when, like, you got the cutscene that was fairly long for this game, which largely has no story, where it's like, yeah, it's safe to shoot as much as we want in here, and you just had a bunch of guns in the previous map, and now you have nothing.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Ugh. One of the things that really upset me as I was going through one of the levels is I hit an area where there were, like, 7 enemies, and all their sight lines were perfect to where it was impossible to get past. It's like, one's going to notice me, and getting noticed means you just lose. So I was like, what do I do? This game introduced the concept of parent Nightwalkers, where they are linked to the other ones, where if you kill that one, all the other ones die automatically.
Oof, okay.
So what they did was they hit it 3 walls to the left. And when if you kill this one, all the ones over there are dead.
You know,
it's hiding in a corner, and right behind its ass is a knife.
What this reminds me of isn't a stealth game. It's a stealth mission in a game that is ostensibly not a stealth game.
Yes.
Yeah,
and they made a whole game of that.
Yes.
Yes, and it also has the exact same stealth movement mechanics as Super Mario 64 of tilt the stick very, very slowly. Which means I alerted them by briskly, slowly walking so many times.
There's no, like, crouch, so you just say... stay slow walking.
No.
We checked. It seems like the crouch and the normal thing have almost the exact same speed, which means it's only good for height-based stuff of I'm going to be below this thing. So maybe if someone's looking in this direction, it will be fine. But otherwise, no. No, that's how it is. These are all these puzzle boxes. I remember early on, I was like, man, the best mission we've gotten so far is the one where they had me jump from rooftop to rooftop and snipe enemies. From a distance.
I mean, it sounds like an upgrade from the rest of this.
Yeah, I know. That's how rough it was. The story was real bad. Where they're like, where's our old boss in the first 10 minutes of the game? It was like, I'm your new boss. And I'm like, I know what that's going to mean. I know that you're going to have some twist of this guy's actually fucked up, right? And yes.
No way.
I didn't expect to have to wait 13 hours later to get this information. But they're like, yeah, we can't send back up. The advanced team has been taken out off screen. So you spend the first like 5 missions trying to get to them, but they're already dead. But then they try to like set up twists that seem so like pathetic, where it's like your female operative that you're always with. She's evil. So what they they decided to be like, no one will expect this twist. Where halfway through the game, she gets kidnapped. And I'm like, why would they kidnap her? They literally killed the advanced team with no effort. Why would vampires just kidnap a person?
Excuse me, sir.
Hello?
Why do you need to kidnap her?
Just hang on. Yeah. it had one of the funniest story moments in the game in which she's like, I'm betraying you and I'm going to shoot this gun. And then it exploded because your one black partner goes, I rigged your gun to explode by putting an exploding bullet in it.
I put a bomb in your brain.
Which might have been the funniest shit ever. Because he's like, don't worry, I put it on you as well, main character. And the main character reveals that they had already removed the bullet in advance because he's a badass that talks maybe 6 times throughout the entire game. Where every time that he did, people went, he talks? What? He does that?
It was really good because I said, see, KZ, like him talking less means you're less subjected to that Metal Gear style type of bad Japanese writing, because this is a trope in Japanese writing where main character listens as someone else says a thing. Then main character's whole sentence and reply is direct object, where they just repeat the subject of the prior sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really lucky, they might... you know, repeat a word in the prior sentence, which is new to them for once ever.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the call was like, oh, that's a writing thing in Japan? I just thought they poorly translated all of those things.
No.
Like, what the fuck?
That's just how it is over there sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. The way the enemies kill you in 2 hits really feeds into the fact that when I fought bosses, they didn't do that. The first boss does 10% of my health per hit. And I went, they knew. They understood. The first boss is what looks to be the protagonist from Devil's Third, but a vampire. We were on a dance floor in which my partner, Hank Harrison, drops a bunch of mines on the floor. that are electrical. So I just make the dudes slowly walk onto them and then shoot them in the head with a shotgun four times. And then that was the first boss. And I went, this could, you know, I'd like more bosses maybe. Then they introduced, it's like, yes, there are the four kings of this game, which are the main bosses. I ran into the second one, James, a character that in a flashback we had fought before and fucked up his face. This is what I assume is possibly Richard Epcar from a couple of the ways his reads sounded. He was blowing out the mic the entire time. I posted clips of it on Twitter. This is the worst voicing I've ever heard in any piece of media, where he's just laughing into some like mic from 1995.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Oh, yeah, you heard that one? Yeah, and it's just that the whole time, and it's just exploding. And that was the best part of the whole game. That was like, that level was overall was like a 7, where it's just run around this area. He'll occasionally just start laughing at you and fucking making you lose your mind. But when you get to the final area, they're like, you need to distract him, which is just shoot him in the head enough to make him flip backward. And then they just drop an entire shipping crate on him. And it just breaks his legs, and then you just shoot him in the head. And that was the only part of the game that I felt joy. Then the game went, okay, so the main vampire bad guys are also, in a way, there's like a new faction, which is the military guys, and they have vampire soldiers. Now these vampires have guns. They're also all dressed up like Hunk in Resident Evil. And for a second I went, this is good. The vampires suck. Now they have guns. That might be better. I was wrong. I was wrong, Phil.
Oh no!
They're hit scan guns. That's
well, of course.
They're hit scan guns. They kill me about just as bad as that. And then I think we spent 40 minutes on one checkpoint that amounted to me running backward, going up a ladder, up two buildings, and having to snipe four enemies in a row. Where if I do not hit them in the head, all four of them on the map aggro and kill me in three shots. I had to do that, then go across the map, kill four enemies, and then do another section that involved me killing four more enemies. And then it would
check. Yeah, that sounds like a really bad 7th gen game.
Yeah, basically the worst. It was insane. I was shocked at how bad it just continued to keep being, to the point where my call went, yo, maybe this game's getting better, when we hit one of the last bosses because they could hear a song that had any level of a soundtrack on it. And he's like, look, he has attacks. I'm like, motherfuckers, he's floating, going left and right and shooting three energy balls over and over again.
Isn't it sad that that's the point where it's like, yeah, this is better than the rest of the game?
Yeah.
Their idea for the final three bosses you fight in the game is to just make you use a sniper rifle and just hit things from a distance.
Hey, if one thing works, why not use it?
Yeah. They're like, we
7, 6, 8 times.
Yeah. Yeah, we need whatever gimmick we can come up with, which in the case of the last boss you fight is a woman that is jumping 500 feet across the map, throwing things at you, and then will dive bomb you with a flying kick that you're expected to just shoot her in, basically in the cooch with a sniper rifle that knocks her down and takes off a fourth of her health.
This sounds like a really strong contender for game of the year.
Yeah, it is. You know, I feel like it can really nail some level of awards and stuff with how well it handled its gameplay and just everything with it. Toward the end of the game, they're like, you have no more bullets left, so spend the first half of this level with no guns at all. So you're just running around. One time I just shot one person in the middle of the field, and then eight vampires jumped out of rocks, and Dan's just yelling, going, you fucking said free donuts.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was like, oh, I see one lady in front of these rocks. I'm a shooter. Kills her. Seven people jump out.
Yes.
Like they just got out of a clown car.
Yeah, it was real bad. There was a bomb defusing level that took me like over an hour.
Yeah, I gotta ask, the how long to beat for this was how long?
11 hours.
And it took you how long?
15 and a half.
Okay, now I can't remember exactly. How long was the how long to beat for TAC, and how long did that take you?
They said 6.5. I skipped 20% of that game, and it still took me 12 and a half.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they've hurt me the most with these games. People said I should submit my time.
You should. You should submit your time to the speed runs.
Yeah. There's only one run on there. It's 2 hours. Mine will be 15 and a half.
Congrats on second place.
Yeah, I know. It felt really good to just really establish a solid time in this game. get something.
Yeah.
Get something going.
I bet you really had to study level layouts to get this one down.
Well, that one time that I died and right below continue is restart, which is restart the entire chapter, I hit that by accident, so we had to redo a level when I was on the last 10%. And as I learned, since it's a puzzle, I was able to get through and catch up. What took me 50 minutes now took me like 8.
Yeah, once you figure out the arbitrarily correct path.
Yes, where it's like, go slightly to the left here, kill this specific enemy, do that. It was like, okay, I can figure this out. And they're like, you got to collect those medals so you can unlock the extra levels. Or go on the online mode and get even more. Get more VR missions for your game.
What a irredeemable video.
Yeah, I know. I called it despicable when describing it. It's the worst game I think I've ever played. Because it gets progressively worse when it's like, yeah, now you're fighting vampires with guns, and they're absolutely abhorrent and terrible. The story is only occasionally funny, but most of the time it's just really, really bad.
Well, you know, at least you got the PS3 version with the ragdoll.
Yes, the ragdoll seemed great.
They promoted this game by saying, we've added many enhancements to the PS3 version, like 5.1 Dolby and renewed animations. The renewed animations being ragdoll every single time you get hit or die. Because in the original, you would plank. Like, your character would jump and immediately plank onto their stomach or back in like 4 frames if they died. They've now replaced that with an even worse animation that is funny, of ragdolling sometimes sending me across 3 streets. As if I'm getting launched while playing Driver on PS1.
Yes.
Where it works the exact same way.
Yeah, I'm really glad that's like, that was the one thing that had joy in it.
Yeah, every time you died, you flew to space.
And it was great.
And what was bad is I was like so done and tired of this game. The people who hadn't seen it as much were laughing at the ragdolling. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when I felt joy seeing that. That was a long time ago when I could enjoy that. But yeah, this was ridiculous. I cannot believe how terrible that game was. I don't regret playing it, because good lord, that second boss fight with the weird mic thing might be the funniest thing I've ever seen and experienced in my life. Of, you did not give a shit. but aside from that, yeah, it's a real bad game. I beat it, and then after you beat the final boss, you put the gun to like the original like super vampire that doesn't actually care about fighting you at all, and the game doesn't tell you, but you have to hit R2 to kill him. I didn't know that because it was a fucking cutscene, so I had to beat it a second time so I could see that version of the ending,
and it was very cool.
Yeah,
it was very deep. It definitely had a huge impact on the ending.
Yes, I think my favorite part of that entire thing was when you get on a call, it's like, yo, what's up? All the corrupt people in the military are gone. What happened to our leader that caused all the problems? He had a heart attack off screen. I was like, oh, that's cool. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you. I'm happy about it. I'm going to sleep now.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, that game was really pathetic when it started ending with, here's a combat room. Okay. We've automatically switched you to the shotgun and filled its ammo. I'm like, you've given up. You just want me to hit the button now.
Why couldn't you give up 8 hours ago?
Why couldn't you just let it be something that could be broken and just like let me have grenades in this game, because there are none except for one you use in a cutscene only, and it's just a flashbang. Like, why couldn't you let me have that and pick up ammo so if I can serve stuff, I can actually have fun with it? But no, it's incredibly strict, and it allowed me to have a fucking miserable time for 15 hours.
Cool.
Nice. Welcome to Gen 7.
Yeah, that was good. That was solid. And again, like, I was like, you kept saying 2 humans worth, and I'm like, I really don't know. I mean, I've looked at footage of that, and I'm like,
oh, I'm still confident.
No.
Oh, like, absolutely.
You're gonna have to beat 2 human to be able to speak confidently about it.
No, I played a couple hours. I'm good. I would sooner beat your game than touch 2 human again.
Yeah.
Hands off the controller. Hands down. Abso-fucking-lutely.
I trust in Dennis Dyack's plan.
I feel like at the point where the level we're talking about now, it really doesn't matter. It's just like, right. Is Vampire Rain better or worse than Sonic Chronicles? Me and KZ very obviously felt the same way playing both, so it really doesn't matter.
There was no out for me.
Like there's no way for me to cheat Vampire Rain either. There weren't even guides.
There's a look, Vampire Rain doesn't have a fart trombone
like Dark Chronicles does.
It has this weird horn track that plays 80 times in the game that we identified as a track from Medal of Honor Frontline for the GameCube.
Sure.
So it had that, and fucking, it has the crazy guy screaming. It has its own fart horn in a way.
There's joy in screaming guy. Unless you mean every enemy, which is still funny, but not as funny as James.
Yeah, James
is a whole other level of funny from the average. Just something he hasn't brought up yet. One of the funniest things about this game, Bob.
Okay.
Is everyone in the game, if they hear a sound, they sound like the most normal fucking man you've ever heard. And they go, "What was that sound?" And then if they see you, they go, just start running.
Yeah, that's the whole thing where it's like, I bump them and they're like, "What is that?" And then they look at me and they go,
"Yeah, it's the funniest shit."
Yeah, because they immediately do that thing if their skin becomes gray and they're like all bloody and cracked out because they're... One of the features in this game is there are civilians. If you hit them, the mission automatically ends. Which we learned this by me finding a pedestrian and going, "Oh, it's a pedestrian." Dylan's like, "Kick them." I did. It's a baby like sidekick. They drop dead.
It's just how strong you are.
They also introduced destructible boxes, Bob, to pick up ammo. 95% of all boxes have nothing in them.
Nice.
Yeah, just a failure on every conceivable
level. I'll enter a room with five boxes and get nothing from it.
Nice.
Because they can't give me more ammo because they only want you to have the bare minimum at all times for everything.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. It is the most seventh gen game I've ever fucking seen.
It literally has everything in there. Toward the end, they literally went, "Yeah, your partner became a vampire 8 hours ago in the story off screen, but held it back until the final 10 minutes so that they could die."
Okay.
And I went, "Why?" But it's Vampire Rain because there are vampires, and the entire time it's raining outside, which dulls their senses. Otherwise, they would find you. So when you go into a nightclub, you're like, "We got to activate the sprinkler so we can make our artificial rain to make it harder for them to find us."
Okay.
And then people kept saying that the fucking nightclub was just Blade 2.
Well, you did have an
That's
ultra...
That's obviously what they wanted,
you
but
had
they
an
couldn't
ultraviolet
make it
light,
work.
Like, in your knife, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, Blade definitely owns knives that are named things like the Cyber Wizard that he got out of the back of Wizard Magazine. He's that kind of guy.
Is that all you wanted to say about Vampire Rain, KZ?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Field, did you play the video games?
I didn't play shit. I watched all of Evangelion instead.
Oh, that's cool. That's nice. That's a good choice.
Yes.
That's a good choice.
So I'm like, somebody will spoil me on this movie, so I have to watch the entire series and then end of Evangelion and then four movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I did.
Did you watch Death and Rebirth?
No, because that's just a compilation and then part of End of Eva.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
So no, I did not watch Death and Rebirth.
Okay, that's right. Fine.
Well, that's good.
That's the podcast for this week. Hey, KZ, what do you have going on in the next week?
Definitely not playing Vampire Rain. Fucking nope. Busting out the PS3 for a 45-minute install for Vampire Rain.
No, he's going to be busting out this.
So old! People kept going, "What trophies are there?" I'm like, trophies weren't made yet.
Yeah. He's going to be busting out the Series X for 2Human.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to be busting out the
Series X. Surely that's not backwards compat, is it?
That's how we played it, isn't it?
What?
Yeah, we played it on because we were doing this and we were switching between that
and Rise, and oh my god, Rise is a way better game than 2Human because everything is.
What the fuck do you mean?
Oh, what's wrong?
This is kill. How is this game that I think copies had to be destroyed?
Well, they put out the notion they should be taken off all store shelves, but you know, they couldn't actually enact that.
You know, I forgot about how good the HUD of Two Human is.
Oh yeah, it's so fucking good, just like the camera, just like everything fucking else.
Oh, it looks so cool.
What a cool game. You know what else is
maybe
cool?
Epic ended up owning it, so they're just like, yeah, just fucking put it on there. We don't give a shit.
The Podlords.
Oh, thank you, Podlords.
Podlords. Thank you, Podlords. Let's end this bit where we
tried to sue Epic and got owned. That was really funny.
Yes, that's right. The Podlords are cool. Podlords such as Eli Broyles,
yes.
Corey Brown, Dobomuito Real, Red Blaze 27, Juicifrost, the stupid putz who keeps forgetting his Patreon password.
Oh no.
Suzu Shiro, Emperor Zero, Shibuya Gato. Cornbread Pockets has summoned Columbo and Date from AI as a tag team to figure out if Twilight cheated on him.
What in God's name is this?
Yo, I don't know.
That's muscle docking from Kinnikuman.
It's a lot
that's
as well.
Tag team move. It's also a reference to the weird meme where Mordecai from regular show is dating Twilight Sparkle. It's not even the first one of those.
It is yet another.
It's like a combination of many dozen things.
Next.
Getting replacement computer parts is hell. I hate this. It didn't used to be, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
101 Shades of Wonderful Remastered. It's a me, Gary.
Oh, God.
It's so good. This is the peak.
Ugh.
Like, his face is so big.
It's so good. WTF Spider-Man. The face of the real hero from 7th Gen. Travis Downward fucking dog touchdown.
That was definitely one of the better games. The gems of 7th Gen.
You know, some people fuck at funerals. He cuts off heads.
Yep.
Everyone deals with grief in their own way. Modern Mage. Me, when I force my Basculin to kill its friends so it can evolve into Basculegion.
The fucking cop from Sword Shield.
So good.
I hate that cop so much.
So good, it was the spoiler cast image.
Yeah, it was.
I know.
DFW3K. Muckbun. Cracking the case of the Taco Bell menu.
Oh, man.
Kristen. You know, it's funny. This Ton Barry just kept following me around, so I adopted him. What do you think?
The eyebrows.
God.
It's so good. That's so good. That's the best one. Oh, my. He looks so confused, even.
I know.
I don't really get this. Damn, one more doink.
Santi Kunai has returned to being a Podlord.
Woo!
Travis Touchdown versus New Raido Kuzunoha Switch Edition.
I love you, New Kuzunoha.
PSA. New Gundam Breaker is a terrible time and an affront against God. Do not suffer like I did. Comma, Adam.
It was half off in Japan a week after release.
Yeah, it's real sad that was like, Gundam Breaker seems neat. Oh, they're localizing one. Oh, no!
Kyle Bjork. My apologies for the repetition, Daniel Video Games. I'm feeling much better now, and I look forward to working with you.
That's good.
Zilter. Finally, Skyrim is a true JRPG. He's wearing the fish fear me hat.
I see.
Finally, they had the one thing they were missing.
This is how they win.
Of course he comes fast. He has fish to catch.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Aggro. Blig to blue. Schlig to poo. Columbo, we have Ashton Kutcher at home.
No!
That's the first thing I thought when you posted that man's face. I was almost going to be like, one more thing. Where's your car?
Yeah, that was our thing of just... I come out, I'm like, is that Ashton Kutcher's like, Bob already said that.
Columbo, it's not funny. Where's my car? Seriously.
Mine says, sweet.
Monster Hunter, Ryzen and Raiden. Peck Pocket.
Okay.
What? Well,
Locke watched MASH season 1, and it was really good, actually. This is not a bit. Check out episode 12, 15, and 7.
That's good. That's a real upgrade from what episode 1 had.
Yeah. Gale, or Guile, or Gaul. I still can't remember how they said to say it.
Gale.
Got no Paul Penis bit this week. Just my cat, Say.
I Say.
Hi.
Oh, nice.
Bob's like, kitty.
I figured it out, guys. This is a cat.
Cat.
You did it, Bob. We're all proud of you.
Just seeing Bob see Benny just go, cat.
Yep.
Real strong.
Cooper Tank. Gonna take a break from playing on my Quan Chi MK arcade cabinet to cook some bacon on my King of Fighters 15 stove.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's so good.
Decisions were made. So, Bob, it's an email, and it's Banny, and she's come here to laugh at you.
Oh, okay.
Actually, her name is Quattro Bajani. She's not Banny Video Games.
That gif where Quattro gets punched, but it's reversed, so the sunglasses are coming back on, but it's Banny.
Zasterder. Oh, fuck. Podboards. We have Double Summoner Raido Kusunoha Switch Edition at home.
He looks more aggressively...
Dude, looks so fucking evil.
I know. This. I saw him in one of the recent trailers. I'm like, why are you so aggressively fuckable?
Well, one, it's being evil, and two, it's Guyliner.
A rat. Again.
Hello.
Indigo Sykes. Alatos Deonogenes is now the 52nd ranked assassin of the UAA. Banny status report, please. She's meowing a mile a second today. I think Bob can attest to that, Bob.
Yeah, seems that way.
Yeah. Satisfy all your cravings with Taco Bell's cheesy gordita crunch. Podlord, please don't turn it into an ad space. BN12. Evil Lucario. Remember to sign up for the Clutchins Insider Program to be invited to the Clutchins Technical Preview. A raccoon that tried to unlock your phone.
God.
My grandmother once said, he who walks the path of heaven will rule over everything.
What's he got in that bowl?
Tofu, actually.
Huh. The more you know.
I wasn't expecting an answer.
Aspiring Bimani Ambassador Shinji 16. And you, Shark. Thank you very much to our podlords.
Podlords.
Oh my god,
podlords. Thank you, podlord.
Thank you, podlords. Just leave the GIF on.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it for Field Fit right now.
And if you'd like to become a podlord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get many benefits, such as access to a patron-exclusive Discord, early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool, our two anime review podcasts, extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions sometimes, Cursed Content Club commentary track when we do that show, and a Patreon exclusive show we do every month that you get to vote on what terrible or good thing we watch and then talk about. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast. And if you don't have any money, it always helps us a lot for you to tell your friends. And if you don't have any friends, you can make some and then tell them about us. And if you have friends right now that don't like us, you can make new friends that have better taste.
Yeah.
Correct. Oh, man.
So before we start news, I'm going to shout out Max Udell, the voice of Susukichi in Neo Twewi, for voicing the stupid fucking thing I did where I ran through Scott Snyder's math monologue, but as him.
Yeah, that was like 8 tweets long. He motherfucker found it and voiced it.
That's great.
And then somebody cut a video, which Dan can hopefully put in the description.
Oh, that was real good. You know what I hate? Things that appear like right as we start recording, where it's like we start recording big thing. I look to the left and they're like, WarioWare demos out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, what? Fucking are you kidding?
Yeah, right now.
Come on.
Right now.
It's out.
Yep.
That comes out next month on the 10th, but you can play with a few of the characters.
On the 10th? Fuck off.
Yeah, September 10th.
There's so much shit.
Yeah. Isn't that the same day as Tales of Arise? Maybe I'm wrong.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's really close. Maybe 2 days difference.
God. Just brutal this year.
Yeah, it's pretty rough this year.
Don't worry, Tales of Arise comes out on the 9th.
Oh, okay. Thank God. It's not the same day.
So the day before. Oh, that was good. That was great. Great to hear. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Bob.
What is it?
Hey, Bob.
What do you want?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Bob.
What's up?
Bob.
Bob.
Look, I'm watching a new footage that just went up for Black Myth.
Bob, I'm sorry. We need the news.
Okay.
Give us your news.
Oh, my God. What is that top one?
So, Goodbye Volcano High has been delayed to 2022.
Uh-huh.
And also, there's a narrative reboot that they announced. They apparently have to rewrite the entire story.
I wonder if that might be because they found, like, the writer wrote...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really deep into two online shit. So I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
But what I think happened is they wrote Harry Potter sex fanfic and people found out and got mad, like the crowd that would, of course, want Goodbye Volcano High,
mm-hmm.
found out and got really mad. And I think that's why this is happening.
Yes, that's what I assume.
That's what I heard as soon as that came out. Like a day later, someone said, this person did. And at the time, I saw tweets saying Harry Potter pedophilia fic. Will they make a statement on this? And I went, I don't want to see this game ever again anyway. So when I see narrative reboot, I went, what? That was real?
Yeah.
I'm part of me doesn't want to believe that and instead thinking like,
yeah,
you got sick of everybody saying it was just going to end with them dying in the meteor because that's what it was going to be. And now you're changing it.
They said the meteor is still there. Also, they did hire a writing team that's worked on various other games.
Oh, so that is absolutely like, oh, what no. happened. All right,
oh,
cool.
Oh,
thank
no.
you for the good news, Bob.
Yes.
I'm glad we finally heard about it again so I can see that it's the biggest mess there ever was.
I'm still not entirely sure what this game is.
It could be a Disney
Plus visual novel.
It's a weird Western visual novel. Yeah.
It might have some goofy minigame, like, because that's what a lot of them do. Like, Dream Daddy had that. That's why they didn't use a visual novel engine, and it doesn't have features like a log.
Why would you need that? Let's see. We also heard about a new Ace Combat game.
Okay.
It's being developed by ILCA, the people working on the Pokemon Fourth Gen reboot, remake.
That's not...
Yeah,
that's
the wording around all this announcement is super weird. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to work with them.
Yeah.
But then they also make statements that sound like they're building up Project Aces separately.
Okay, that's
so I don't
really
know.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
I don't know what to expect this to be. Maybe this is a mobile game spinoff.
Yep. Oh, that'd be okay.
Yeah, because Ilka is mainly, I guess that's how I'll pronounce it.
Sure.
They're like mainly a support team. So like the Pokemon remake.
Yeah.
Is like their first thing where it's like wholly them, it looks like.
Yeah, I was gonna say normally they're like a shadow dev.
Yeah,
right.
Where they like worked on the last Ultimate Ninja Storm for Naruto or Yakuza 0,
mm-hmm.
Metal Gear Rising, and all the Nier stuff recently.
Yeah, normally
like the mobile game and the remaster.
Normally they aren't the people who make the thing, so I don't know.
The statement they said implies to me like they're either going to be like, we're making assets or menus or something, or just a mobile offshoot.
Yeah, it
doesn't
super
seem
unclear.
Like, it doesn't seem like Ace Combat 8 will be developed by these people.
I mean, yeah, because, hey, maybe they'll design the dogs.
They design graphics fine. They design graphics fine. They helped do Dragon Quest XI, and that game looks immaculate.
Yeah.
Which version?
Yeah, it doesn't say S, so I'm going to assume it's the original PS4. Version.
Cool, they should get some help re-upping the graphics fresh. That would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they made a version where I'm like, okay, do you want to have orchestral music and more content, or do you want it to run above 1200p on the PS5, something the original version did for some reason the new one doesn't.
So, Bob, I'm looking at your news coming up.
Okay.
And you ever get one of those things of like, oh, this is going to be so terrible, this thing I have to do? It's kind of like ripping off a Band-Aid, but worse, because it's more like ramming your car through debris to hopefully survive. That's how I'm going to ask you to treat this next bit of news and the one after it, probably.
Okay. That's fair.
Thank you.
The developers of Outriders, People Can Fly, have said they haven't been paid any royalties yet, which means it's not yet profitable.
That sucks.
The CEO came out and said, well, maybe it has something to do with it being on Game Pass.
That also sucks.
I was told that Game Pass helps all developers in the world.
All of them. Permanently. of a correct and appropriate ratio of payout to their budget.
To pivot that discussion to the game wasn't good enough, so it shouldn't make money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's totally one of those things. Game Pass and stuff like it totally isn't new enough yet that publishers can fuck devs by promising them royalties and then selling out to all these weird subscription services. That totally isn't a thing.
Oh, yeah, no, that would never happen.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. We all know how that felt. Call of Duty Vanguard.
They said they would pay us in crypto. I don't understand.
They're like, they gave us one JPEG. We're like, what is this? And it's like, it's your Outriders NFT. You can be paid through this.
Don't sell it anywhere.
So what's up with Call of Duty?
It got announced. It comes out November 5th.
What's it called?
Call of Duty Vanguard.
Yeah!
This is the World War II Call of Duty. It is the next game.
The trailer looked really funny with all the people.
Yeah, they released a trailer that looked really bad and had faces like horribly grafted into each scene that they panned over. And it was just laughable. And then they released a new trailer today where it's like a trailer for a video game.
The funniest trailer in the world. The funniest trailer I've ever seen in my entire life. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Activision's logo is not in the title card, and the space for it is a yawning chasm.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, they removed their own logo because of everything that's going on with them.
Oh my god, that's so...
So it goes Sledgehammer Games, Void, CallofDuty.com, Treyarch Beenox.
Yep.
Wow, they really don't want their name associated with it.
And at the start, I think it goes Call of Duty Presents, not yes. Activision Presents.
Yeah.
That's really good. They're putting on that invisibility cloak.
Yeah, I honestly thought the Call of Duty Presents thing was just for, hey, please care. This is a Call of Duty game, but it's not a good one, but we want you to think it is. But yeah, no, you're totally right. It's just Activision doesn't want their name anywhere.
Yeah, this trailer today looks kind of expensive, at least.
Yeah, it shows off the four different regions.
Okay. Eastern Front, North Africa, Western Front, and the Pacific.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
We also find out that Gunsmith's feature returns. That's the cool feature from the last game where you can customize your gun super heavily.
Good.
That'll maybe help this World War II nonsense, but...
Yeah, I don't know that you could save this, bro.
I don't know either.
I think last year's game might just be the Call of Duty people keep playing.
Yeah.
Just because.
There's a new zombie mode made by Treyarch. That's how much No, it's just Treyarch.
I was wondering.
It's a continuation story-wise of the zombies that were in the last game.
Come on.
And made by them.
So... You know, we're entering a really weird place where we might not really be in the Middle East anymore. So Battlefield and Call of Duty are going to be like, what do we do?
I mean, like, we haven't even touched that stuff, we're going to have to make up our own shit.
Yeah, the thing is they keep doing future combat. So they're not really focusing on the Middle East as an active thing. And honestly, last year's was the Cold War.
The new modern warfare wasn't... The Middle East thing?
When was the last...
What was the Modern Warfare?
Yeah, I'm like, because we did Modern Warfare was 2019.
Yeah, but that
was a remake of a game from 2008.
Right, but it was more focused
on
stuff in Russia.
Was it a remake? I thought it was just... We're just using that name again.
It was reimagining.
Yeah. So it's following basic beats, but there are things moved all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know if he even had the Middle East. I can't remember.
There were Call of Duty ghosts that were spinning around anytime they did something different. It's crazy.
What?
No, it was a remake written by not a hack.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the most recent...
What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that one they did at the start of 8th Gen? Ghost? Where you had the dog?
Yes. The one 8 years ago was Ghost, yes.
Yeah, that was the one where it was also set in the future after the nations had been cracked by a giant laser or something.
But, Bob, I'm really excited for the day that we get fucked up in our heads and we go, chat, if you give us money, we'll just play every Call of Duty campaign.
I really want to do that, but it feels like it's in poor taste right now. We need to let this... settle down.
Yeah, that's true. People really don't like talking. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, Bob. Is there a month where we're going to get to the celebrity cameo and it won't be in bad taste?
You know no, but it's always it'll be like, yeah, that sure is that guy. Wow.
No, we're just going to keep moving.
You know, I hate that E3 season exists, so you can't. There's no way you could do Call of Junty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be really funny if Activision just collapses and you're like, now we can laugh at every horrible thing in these campaigns.
Oh man, Kevin Spacey time.
Could you imagine Kevin Spacey dies and we're like, go, go, go!
Yeah, that would be the whole
thing. Go, baby, great!
That's the only time we can imagine that it will be okay. People will be like, I miss him. And they'll be like, nope, banned. Hey, Bob, keep moving.
Okay, my final piece here. Valis, platformer.
It's a platforming action game.
Platformer
for the
action
Genesis
game.
And TurboGrafx and other platforms. It's very cool, very anime. You play as a high school girl. It's very cool.
She's magical and has a sword.
Yeah.
It's getting a cool remake, or not remake, a recompilation, rather.
A collection, you might say?
Yeah, it's a collection for the Switch.
Oh, that's
only
cool.
In Japan announced so far.
Well, that's not cool.
Hopefully we get this. It's all the PC Engine versions.
Okay.
Hopefully we get this. The most recent Valis game was Valis X, an erotic visual novel released for Windows in 2006 on the 20th anniversary of the series.
Yeah, it was really
it involved
when I looked that up.
It is 5 episodes that retell the first 4 games, containing copious amounts of lesbian acts and tentacle erotica.
Yeah, that was really depressing when I looked that up. I was like, oh, this Valis series is really cool. When's the last time they made one?
Yeah, I remember the last time we brought this up, a big thing to mention, talking about Valis and going, here's this.
Yeah,
is this, they crowdfunded, is this a thing they crowdfunded?
The collection?
Yeah, because earlier this year they were like, we're crowdfunding a Switch game port of all these games.
Oh, maybe it might have been one of those ones where it was crowdfunded but only in Japan, like they didn't let anyone else.
They didn't let anybody else do it.
Okay, so we're gonna go to Feel next for news. Feel, start blasting.
Okay, the Dragon Twins from River City Ransom, who are like the guys you fight outside the final dungeon at the gates, they're in River City Girls 2 and they're now Catboys.
Are the Dragon Twins something that, like, are recurring characters in River City? Like, from the older games?
No, they're just like, the really difficult bosses outside the gates in River City Ransom that are a Double Dragon reference.
Okay, so, cool. Gotcha.
But they're not the Double Dragons, because those characters are already in the game. So now they just...
So clearly, they're not the Double Dragon...
The Catboys.
They're not the Double Dragon parallels. They're the Katinagi Twins from Scott Pilgrim parallels.
I guess.
I'm gonna shoot him right now and see how it works.
So why are they Catboys? Did they explain that?
No, because way forward, and I guess because it's like the dragon angle, like dragons are big cats.
Okay. No, I'm gonna ask you to not.
Also, the new character that they showed with Marion is I have no fucking idea how to pronounce this woman's name. Proovy, and she's from River City. Proovy. She's from a River City Ransom Underground, that like Western sequel that they crowdfunded and then made, that for some reason is allowed to exist alongside this stuff.
Huh.
But River City Ransom, I'm not River City Ransom. River City Girls 1 included a lot of like moveset references, because River City Underground has like 40 playable characters and a million moves and stuff, and a really horrible milk mission that almost made me drop the game, that is basically the Nitro mission from Castlevania 64. Ugh. No fucking idea why they did that. I think they later patched it to be something a human being could complete.
Jesus.
And then they announced Skyrim again.
Cool.
Woo! Finally!
Let's
who's waiting for a new
go.
Skyrim?
Reset the clock.
This is Skyrim 10th too, anniversary right? edition. The 10th anniversary edition. I'm really surprised this wasn't at E3. I'm really stunned they didn't announce this at E3. Yeah. 10th anniversary. It's out November 11th. It has fishing and 500 things from the Creation Club, which is their thing to bring mods to consoles.
Yeah.
It is a not free console upgrade to next gen. PS4, PS5, get it too.
How okay. much does it have they said yet?
They have not said.
Oh my god.
It's 60 again.
That's insane.
I don't know why we should expect anything else.
Well, it's not going to be 60 to upgrade. They wouldn't say there's an upgrade path. It's 60. That would be right.
No, like, they'll put a PS5 disc on shelves that says Skyrim and they'll go 60.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that,
they will.
That
of course
will be
they 6. Will.
That 100%.
That might be 70. It'll be 20.
That's already farcical.
Yeah, it'll be 70.
That game's ancient.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but now it has 500 new pieces of content in it.
And it's probably hopefully runs a 60. Have they said?
I
you
don't think
Bethesda
so, no.
Bethesda talked about performance metrics.
What are you, a room?
What was it? The fucking El Shaddai. They announced a price, and at launch, it's going to be on sale for a little bit off, so it comes out to like $32.50.
Okay.
I think they said that game's coming out on a date suspiciously close to 9/11.
I thought it was just September 1st, unless they changed it.
Is it September 1st? I can't remember, and Steam is like... not saying the date yet because it just got announced.
I'll just check our document from last week.
Oh, did we talk about that? We talked about that date last week, but not the launch sale.
Right.
And the fact they're like, please buy our OST. And I'm like, your OST is noteworthy? I somehow didn't know that.
Yeah, September 1st.
I remember the music being pretty good, but I might be totally wrong.
September 21st?
First.
Okay, just first. Okay. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Apparently it's going to be 4K, but they haven't said anything about frame rate.
Yeah,
yet,
and every
trailer is wildly unstable.
Yeah, and every trailer's 30 frames per second. It's driving me fucking insane.
Are you? God, that'd like, be so sad. You have the most these most powerful consoles we've ever seen
by a landslide,
and they can't run a PS3/360 game at 60.
Yeah,
that's laughable.
Well,
they
added all these visual upgrades that probably aren't optimized very well.
Yeah, they probably don't look good either.
They pulled the automata, and the global illumination is 7 times the resolution that anyone can see.
Oh no.
Oh man.
Finally, let me get this dude's name. Todd Mitchell, who wrote the book Inside Video Game Creation. He went on record being like, I don't think it's a big problem that Oculus is going to make you like merging with Facebook. Then Facebook suspended him for no reason, locked him out of all his Oculus stuff, let somebody who isn't him take over his business page and start charging his credit card money.
What a big self-owned, Jesus.
Oh, man, if only everyone who simped for corporations
at
got
least,
that much karmic revenge.
At least he owned it. He was like, here's a quote I made a long time ago inside my book.
Good. Good.
Then he posted a gif of Locke from Lost going, I was wrong.
Jesus.
It's always frustrating when it takes this personal experience for a lot of people to understand what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's really bad when we have a large, lingering, existential threat and it takes personal levels of suffering for people to grow empathy or foresight.
Yep.
Yeah, it is really bad when that happens.
I know what you're talking about, Dan. There's nothing like that. We're never going to fix it, so it can't be real.
Okay, sure. It is a real fucking shame that people are just wired like that. But breaking off from that trend, let's move on to Pokemon.
Woo!
We had a Pokemon Presents.
Yeah.
We wrote a little bit of a roundup. I started filling Bob's notes, and Bob apparently just threw it at me and went, here, you want it? Fuck
yeah,
you.
Because then I started writing all this other stuff that happened, like Goodbye Volcano High. And I was like, I'll take the bet. I'll play with this cross.
Dan has nothing else. You might as well just throw him a bone.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to fill in Bob's notes on the Pokemon thing because I can see he beat me to it to start writing it. And I'll just fill out the parts that are later on with more details. Because, you know, I was up when that happened. I was doing research on the Thursday podcast. That's why I didn't sleep. Anyway, hey.
Cool. I just couldn't sleep.
Oh, that's great. Pokemon Unite, mobile version, September 22nd. We're getting Mamoswine and Sylveon.
That's cool.
Let's vote, though. Bob.
What's up?
Would you have taken two other forms of Eevee before this one? Are there two Eevees that you would put ahead of this one in the game?
Probably. I'm not a huge Eevee fan in general, so I'm not
God, the first guy I ask is Eevee racist.
I like Eevee, but they're not optimal stat-wise, so I never let myself get too attached.
That's okay. Playing a MOBA isn't optimal life-wise. Hey, KZ, but two Eevees you would rather put?
But Umbreon should definitely be in here instead.
Yeah, I'm like...
yes, Vaporeon rules. Glaceon's one of my favorite Pokemon. Put that in there. You put in so many of these. You can even put in Flareon and make him really strong to make people who hated the move pool for Flareon angry. They're like, no, it's supposed to suck. That's the point.
Why is it owning me? Yeah, there are like five forms of Eevee I'd throw in before Sylveon. I'm happy for Sylveon fans, but as a person who's loved Eevee for a long time, I was like, aw.
Yeah, just the newest one. Aww. Lol.
I get why, and honestly, I think we even predicted this in a conversation off of content.
Yes.
Or I'm like, if they put in an Eevee, it's Sylveon in a heartbeat. Because you get a fairy rep and an Eevee all in one.
I'm a lot more surprised that they put in Mamoswine. I was like, that's a weird pick.
Yeah, I feel like they just wanted an ice tank.
I guess.
That's all I got.
I guess.
And we're still waiting on Blastoise since that came up in like data mines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it has a mafia outfit with like a suit and a hat.
Yeah, I think that one's just in the beta. That's why we have so much for it.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely waiting for that.
Well, if I recall correctly, they had to redo its moveset because it was too similar to
Slowbro.
Yes. Slowbro,
that's right. Yeah.
Yes. So that's why that's not coming out immediately. But yeah, overall, I'm not unhappy with those ads. Those are good. And I'm glad that mobile version's coming out soon. Maybe the iOS version will work with a controller, unlike fucking XDive when I tried to use that. So that way I could play it on my fucking MacBook.
Mm-hmm. Also, crossplay between Switch and mobile.
That's important shit.
So keep this game as active as possible. I'm glad that they confirmed like two more Pokemon because we already got we have Blissey now.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Gardevoir.
Yes.
So it feels like we're getting a decent amount of Pokemon coming in. And they are varied enough to where I'm like, okay, you're not like...
In doing Gen 1.
Yes. It's like, I don't expect Mamoswine. I definitely don't expect Blissey.
Yeah, Blissey was a weird pick.
Which I do appreciate when you're going for weird for weird picks here. So
yes,
that is cool.
Okay, now to something less cool.
Okay,
Pokemon Cafe, please come back. It's better edition was announced. They put Remix in the title, added new puzzles, and they're like, hey, these Pokemon will visit you, so please, for the love of Christ, play this game.
They said they're going to do things to the puzzle mechanics. I will try it again. I have no confidence that game is a puzzle game yet.
but it'll be a different non-puzzle game.
They also announced some stuff for Pokemon Master Sex.
Yes!
There are lots of events. Ends getting a fancy suit. I still don't know much about this game other than Dylan tweeted about it a few times.
You see, this is an important Pokemon game because it's how we finally get voice actors for these characters.
I was about to say that exact thing.
Yeah, that is truly depressing.
Where they're like, I'm the voice of this Elite Four member. And I'm like, that's cool.
That's cool.
I'm like, this is cool. The only thing I will forever give Pokemon shit for, no matter how annoying Pokemon complainers become and how much I want to own them, fucking have voice acting. It's 2021. You're 20 years out from it being standard.
It just seems weird, frankly.
Yeah.
But
even Zelda.
Yeah.
And Zelda's is like real bad.
Zelda was the original holdout. So the fact even Zelda has come around and Pokemon's like, no, no, that's money.
We can't send money on our $1 billion franchise.
It's hard.
Yeah, we can't spend money on our $1 billion branches. Moving on, Pokemon Go. We're getting a few things from the Galar region.
Okay.
Just a few different Pokemon. They're invading in small waves. So we got like...
The Redcoats are coming.
Yeah, the Redcoats are coming. We're getting about 10 of them invading our shores.
Oh, shit.
It's real rough. That's happening August 20th. So before this podcast comes out.
Shout out to Wooloo.
I'm just remembering for Master Sex, they showed Hop, and he looks like a psychopath.
That looks like the kind of man who would evolve a Wooloo and ruin that Pokemon.
Yeah, look, it was just a very accurate portrayal of Hop. I don't know what's your problem.
Oh, right. We did get... This is the highest quality version of Hop we've got for this mobile game.
Oh, my God.
Let's fucking go.
That Hop has the face of a man who chews gum directly into your ear while hovering way too close behind you.
And forgot to unwrap
it. Also, they also just were like, okay, Leon, you look like a slut now.
Good.
We did that to you. That's the new version you can roll for. It's based on the legendary, supposedly.
Well, you know, Master Sex is in the title, so that makes sense. We also got more stuff about Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. It's fourth gen. The editing for the first trailer was shit post tier terrible, and I don't understand. They zoomed in on individual words insanely 19 times to the point where it's just like three Pokemon.
Like, they'll say something like, stickers, and then they show you putting them on there. And I'm like, is this the only way you could think to key this up with no voiceover? Which is funny, because they at least when they're like, here's Team Galactic, it's a bunch of dialogue zooming past of different things than that. And I'm like, why couldn't you do something like this for all the other ones instead of zooming in on a 720p image?
Underground.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they could have even... They do... they have trailer voice guys for a reason. They exist. Yeah,
I know. That was for trailer two.
I mean, shit. This is at the point where I'm like, you're making Inti look professional with their... This is a story. I'm so hardcore.
I can't handle that guy anymore.
But yeah, aside from that, the second trailer was really good. One of the most exciting features from what I've seen people react with is that the outfits. There are many outfits for both the main characters.
And yeah.
They look pretty cool.
It is weird that they don't seem to be customizable. It seems like it's just, okay, this is the full set.
Yeah, you just get a bunch of different outfits.
Right.
That's more of what it's going for over customization.
I'm shocked that's in there. Like, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, especially when you're going to start the game as Chibi mode, so they have to make two outfits.
I'm going to have to try to find an outfit that makes me feel better about my Chatot being deaf. Can't teach it what sounds to make, because there's no microphone.
Oh, no.
Poor Chatot, it has been silenced.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
It was cool to see all those features from Gen 4 just, you know, in there, like the underground stuff.
Yes, the underground stuff seemed more salient and cogent than ever. Yeah. So that's cool.
Depending on what statues you decorate will change what Pokemon are in a zone.
Yep.
Stuff like that. The contests and everything. And I'm like, this has everything they've shown in it. Except that Battle Frontier. I have no hope for it after what they did to me in Hoenn, but you know.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame.
I'm sure there'll be the fuck tower that is in every Pokemon game now.
But remember, you can have these beauty contests and stuff. You can have the underground, but you can't have your battle heavy end game content because people have phones.
Fucking hate that guy.
That guy is the one directing this one, you go.
We're gonna move on to Pokemon Arceus.
Yeah, whatever.
Pokemon Arceus. It's Pokemon Arceus.
Whoa.
It ran well this time, and that made me really fucking happy.
Yes. It's got the new combat system that's got like an almost Trails or Final Fantasy X like turn order thing where you're doing like different speeds of attacks where you can have an agile style or a strong style, and that'll like determine like how many more turns you could get. So if you have like really fast Pokemon, you're like going multiple times in battles, and that's cool.
Yeah, no, that seemed really neat. Mm-hmm. Also, they showed off, you can still craft Pokeballs from acorns.
I like these old Pokeballs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that whenever the catching animation is not an LED, it's a little firework that shoots out of the top.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. That's neat.
They also talked about how the Pokemon in the wild could beat you to death. It was good.
I like the ones that become sicko mode, George Lucas about to attack J.J. Abrams, where their eyes turn red and they just start...
Yeah, they move at you like the vampires in Vampire Red.
They do. They do, and you're going to ragdoll.
And then over the mountain.
If you lose a Nuzlocke of this, you just die.
Yep, you just delete the save file, you're done. But yeah, no, it's really cool. I also appreciate the fact if you successfully throw the heavy ball at them while still in stealth, it increases your odds of catching them.
Yeah, the thought of being able to play this without doing battles and doing stuff like that sounds really cool.
They showed something that's really dangerous to me. I don't know how other people feel, but they're like, hey, you need to do lots of research. Just catching the Pokemon isn't enough. Have you killed this electric type with a ground type move? Have you caught multiple? Have you done this to it? Have you and there are check boxes,
yeah,
too.
That sounds like a logical step forward for the series. And it also made me think Pokemon Snap almost.
I'm like, oh my god, yeah, this is a nightmare. My OCD is gonna want to do everything.
Oh, that part got my brain like going into hyperdrive, because I'm like, that's what I think a Pokedex should probably be, especially if this is the first Pokedex of the Hisui region, which is just, you know, a Sinnoh before it becomes Sinnoh. Like,
it would definitely, yeah, like, especially if they give you bonuses for these that are like tangible and not bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. They need to have a reward structure to this. Otherwise, it just is no brain spiders make me do it.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, we don't know what this Pokemon is. You're the first one to see this one. You need to figure out all the dumb shit about this Pokemon.
Yeah, I assume this is also to counterbalance an expectation I have that this will probably be one of the smallest Pokedexes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it makes sense to dive deeper on each Pokemon.
I'm fine with this one having a smaller Pokedex, because you can look at the game and go, oh, there's a reason.
Right, yeah, they look new and they have an idea.
Yeah, and as I tweeted, like, once you see this game running well and the beautiful environments and stuff and see the active combat that they've designed, it's like, okay, this seems like the direction they were going with the wild areas and Sword and Shield, but they couldn't get there in time. Mm-hmm. And this seems really cool. Yeah. Like, this is neat.
Yeah, the art style looks really good, and there seems to be like a lot of different biomes that have a completely different vibe. It has like a painterly looking look to it that I think looked pretty neat, and just in general,
it looks good most of the time. I think the tree leaves don't look so good sometimes.
I don't want to talk about trees and Pokemon ever again.
I know, but I just watched the trailer a bunch of times. I'm like, those pointy trees don't look so good.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's ruined.
It's okay. The Switch Pros totally covered you guys. It's going to save us. I really like the towns. I think the towns look great in this.
I'm worried there's only that one.
Hmm.
That's kind of the thought, by gosh, from all of this. Of like, yeah,
they showed like on some website for this game, one of the game's websites, they showed like a world map that was pretty large. So it looks like there might actually be a couple of towns. Yeah. Some people are saying something like, the west side of this game's planet or like region, people are like dressed like Palkia, and the other one's gonna be like Dialga.
So that's gonna cute.
That'd be neat.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
There's gonna be like stuff like that. So I'm a lot more impressed with that. I like the idea that you work for the Team Galactic. You're like the Galactic like research institute in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
I think it's really funny that Cyrus's great 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 grandmother is apparently here.
Yes. I like the idea that it's like, yeah, this game, what if this game really is just if Cyrus won and just reset the planet?
It is entirely possible.
Which I think...
I feel like they'll hint at that, but they won't explicitly say it either way.
Yeah, that's usually what they do.
Yeah, we'll just know because they'll never make a regular Pokemon a game again. This is the ninja style.
I think it's really obvious now that like this was gonna maybe I'm entirely fucking wrong, but I feel like this was Gen 4 remake and then went, this is way too different.
Oh yeah, no, that's what I think. I think Game Freak, you know, just tried to make something original that was a Gen 4 remake and then ended up drifting off enough where someone at the Pokemon company or elsewhere in this executive chain went, yeah, we're also gonna need that normal fucking game.
Yeah, because even like Hoenn started becoming a lot more different, where the Team Aqua and Magma had completely brand new, vastly different designs.
Yeah, that game was completely different. That one's good.
wrong.
Oh, the it's original, bad. The original, are you saying the original, is bad?
No, I'm saying the original is also good. You're not even a real Pokemon fan.
Yeah, because I don't love surfing and rewalking down the fucking mountain.
What, you do that unless like you, one?
Unless you love every entry in the series equally, you don't fan. Like it.
That is true. Bob hates Kingdom Hearts because he didn't like one DLC.
Not even an entry, just a DLC.
That's how it works, man. I'm sorry.
I like the fact, or as every 10 minutes is like, do you just want me to take you there? Like, they know. It's like everyone in this universe played the original third gen and went, hey, I know how rough it is out here. I can transport you with my magic.
I mean, this just feels like a modern RPG now, where so many of them are just that. They're like, would you like to Would you like to go across the map? I'm like, yes, Tales of Zillia. I would like to fucking leave right now.
I would like to not go through the mine I just went through.
Yes.
But yeah, they showed off the three animal rides, which is Weird Deer, Hisuian Braviary, and then this regional evolution of Basculin called Basculesion, where it's like, yeah, the souls of the dead Basculin possess it and becomes this badass torpedo fish from hell.
Yeah, yeah, so that it can survive and swim farther upstream.
And it's like, oh, that's really cool. And then Shibuya photoshopped the cover of All My Friends Are Dead to have fucking the Basculesion on it.
We also have a Werdeer, which is a new evolution for Stantler.
Finally.
Did they confirm that?
Yeah, they said up said that it's in this region. Stantler's just evolved into that.
Just immediately showed Werdeer, and we're both me and Tosh are like, that's a fucking Stantler. What the fuck is...
Yeah, and I'm like, that makes sense. You would do it here. Gen 4 was the one known for bringing back a bunch of old Pokemon, giving them an evolution.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. Who doesn't love Magnezone?
I love Magnezone.
Okay, that's what I fucking thought. Magnezone's great.
I like Magmortar.
Magmortar is pretty strong.
Yep, and Electivire.
Electivire is no Magnezone, but okay.
I would like Magmortar more if Magmortar wasn't racist.
Let me look this up.
Oh, no! Don't!
Let me look this up. One moment. No, it's fine. It's fine. We're going to move on.
That's not fine at all.
We're going to move
it's
on.
The opposite of fine, actually.
It sounds like you are just a little too judgmental. You're just projecting your thoughts.
Uh-huh. No, it's his bill got
really wide. There's nothing
really
wrong with Jinx
wide.
At all.
His bill just got really wide and started wrapping around his head. That's all that happened there.
And his mouth got stung by bees.
Yeah. So that was the Pokemon thing. Hey, KZ, do you have some news?
Sure. A remaster of Quake is out. It is already out and has been out for several days by this point. This was announced at QuakeCon. It goes up to 4K. It's got all that stuff, like better models, lighting, etc. Has all the original expansions and a brand new one made by Machine Games. Has local and online multiplayer with crossplay, motion controls. It's cool.
Yeah, it's on the everything.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass already, so I'll just play it on that.
It has Bethesda Net, which is fucking horrible, and Microsoft should be like, no, you can't. That doesn't get to exist anymore. We own you.
Yeah, I remember where I was like, maybe someday the Bethesda Net thing will go away because they're owned by Microsoft, and Microsoft's like, come on, dude, we already have their info. I was gonna ask, did you say that was crossplay?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I can play on PC.
Yeah.
Against console people. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's solid. Also, Boomer Shooter related, I guess.
Uh-huh.
There was an interview with John Romero recently.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how he's going to be making Sigil 2, which is...
Ooh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be basing it off Doom 2 and the way Sigil was based on Doom 1. And he's like, this is going to be even bigger than the next one. And then he said, when that's done, I'm going to make that but with Quake.
Oh, you bastard. You're so smart. You and your luxurious mane. I hope you're doing well.
So there you go. There's a preview of the next two eventual Civi videos. But I did think that was neat and pretty well-timed. My next piece of news is killing me. It made me, when I woke up, think that life wasn't real. Kazuma Kiryu from Yakuza is going to be in Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania. This is more normal than most Yakuza side quests he's involved in.
This is really cool that they should have Arl in also.
Yeah.
Be cool.
Didn't they say Sonic and Tails are actually in this too? I'm pretty sure they announced that and I missed it entirely for a solid month, but the moment the Monkey Ball monkey showed up, the moment Kazuma showed up, everyone was like, holy shit! Look at the fuckers they're putting in these balls!
Isn't there also the Jet Set Radio guy?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I'm not entirely sure how many things are real and how many things are saying people on Twitter made up.
Well, I'm watching the Sonic and Tails one. Man, okay. This is great. They put some good animations on them. This is incredible. I was already excited for this game. Now I'm even more excited. The memes to come out of the Kazuma thing are really good.
So, a funny detail, since you're talking about getting Pseudopill,
mm-hmm.
is that new Suicide Squad movie came out. That James Gunn worked on.
Yep.
You know, was in charge of. Harley Quinn has a big hallway fight scene, and mm-hmm. he has recently revealed it was just inspired by Lollipop Chainsaw, which he co-wrote, and Suda just responds saying, this is the best.
Yep. This is really good.
It's like, that's great.
He's really winning this year.
Oh, yeah, he is.
God. Oh, my God, I wrote this.
Yeah, you did.
Nine months after the launch of Xbox Series X, Microsoft is alpha testing a 4K dashboard.
Yeah, so that way it could finally be 4K.
Instead of 1080p.
Instead of 1080p upscaled. And for people who are like, what's it matter? You clearly don't own an air fryer.
you clearly
you've never seen text at 1080p versus 4K.
Yeah.
Clearly, you aren't allowed to legally drive.
Either that or you're dying on that hill. Get some medical attention.
Yes.
But yeah, that's good. Honestly, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
When you see the amount of detail that's in like game icons on the PS5 and then jump over to the Xbox, it's kind of sad.
I learned how important 1080p versus 4K dashboards are through the PS5, where they had that glitch where the 120 hertz mode would force me into 1080p because my TV is 1 year older than it needs to be.
Yep.
So I got to see what the 1080p UI looked like, and I'm like, this looks really, really bad.
Yeah, so I'm sure the 4K version of the Xbox One will look really nice.
Yeah. Hopefully that alpha test doesn't take them 6 months.
God, I hope it doesn't. Yeah. Usually it doesn't. Usually it's like 2-3.
And closing out, we got a couple pieces of fighting game related news. Guilty Gear Strive's second DLC character is Jack-O, coming August 27th. I know nothing about her except that she has a massive dump truck ass. And they have inverted her hair for this game.
I looked up information on a wiki about her, and I should have done that.
Yeah, no.
Hey, Bob, we should go through those plots.
Yeah, we really should.
She has the dump truck ass, and I think she fucks Soul Bad Guy.
I believe in the last game, she had a playstyle similar to Arakune, so I'm not entirely happy about having to fight her again.
if I saw people comparing her at the time, to a modern Killer Instinct had Gargos, who summons little minions that cause fucking problems all the time, and then she basically does the same thing.
Yep.
And just throws stupid bullshit.
In XR, she had like houses that would spawn them.
Oh god!
And in this one, they got rid of that. She just throws them out.
Okay. God.
So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have time after Killer 7, we just go right into Guilty Gear.
Maybe. I don't know.
I have no idea how long that game is.
I assume Killer 7's a chunk.
Yeah, it probably is.
You know, most Suda games are a chunk.
Yeah, surprisingly so.
Let me...
Chunky monkey.
Killer 7's supposed to be 13 hours and 14 Whoa! Minutes. Did you...
I thought this would be more like the 8 hour.
Bob's like, oh, thank God, a normal length stream. And he walks into a house with a label on it that says another death stream.
Right. I'm going to have more Little Caesar pizzas.
Oh, no.
That's like that Zorro Fab art where you're like, oh, man, this theme month's almost over. And then you're just running into Jack month.
God.
Jesus.
God. I mean, that'll be good. Maybe it'll be like Vampire Reigns where it will actually be off by 6 hours.
I doubt it.
In a random direction. Who knows?
We've been pretty good. Things haven't been too far off in a while for us. What was the most recent how long to beat being farcically wrong?
This isn't fair. You play games people played.
not usually.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember it was something somewhat recently where it's like, yeah, we beat that in like 3 hours difference.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it was.
I don't want to assume that was No More Heroes because we were playing on Sweet.
Maybe that was
instead of mild
the Hellblade.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
we did just go through Ninja Theory Week and oh yeah, that's right. They said Enslaved was 3 hours longer than it was.
We're just confused.
We're like, how bad are you at video games where this took 3 more hours? This game is very straightforward.
And we don't even need to talk about DMC because I cheated that.
Yeah, no, that's not fair at all. I didn't even look for that. That's bullshit.
No need.
Dude's not even playing the game most of the time. He's flying around.
Last one. It's already out. Samurai Showdown's next DLC character is Guilty Gear's Baiken.
The one everyone guessed it would be.
Yes.
Yeah, like the easiest choice.
And she's like, I heard I'm going to be in a fighting game with Rollback, right? And they're like, I'm sorry, we've moved you to this other franchise instead.
It'll be so upsetting if she just isn't in the DLC at all.
It's like, see you in a couple years.
Just great.
It's like you'll be in the reissue.
Yeah, probably.
It'll make sure it's a reissue. That way we don't have to dub this one.
Yeah, I think they'll still do like the Street Fighter thing where it's like it's free to put you in there, but you got to buy the characters. That thing. I imagine they'll do something like that, but it's like wait 2 season passes for this character. We're strategic like that. We know you're waiting.
I'm glad her titties are still big because it would have been injustice if they were shrunken. But Anji's are enormous, so now we have true equality.
Yes,
that's what we've all been waiting for.
There's one other piece of news that came out during this thing.
Oh no!
Thing. They put up a new trailer for Black Myth Wukong in Unreal 5.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that's the
it
thing.
Looks
that's
really
the thing
fucking
that
cool.
Bob was watching, and then we're like, no, Bob, read your news right now,
asshole. Yes. Oh. Yes. God, it looks so... Unreal 5 looks really cool. I can't wait for games to start coming
right,
out on it.
All right, let me just click into the middle of this. Oh my fucking God.
Fucking God.
What the fuck?
Yep.
I'm having that exact same vibe that Maximilian dude had when he watched the last trailer of going... Yo, but what if this is just not real? And like, I don't know, guys.
But it says it was real time at the beginning. They wouldn't just lie to me.
The snow in this looks really good.
No game studio has ever lied about something being real time. Really enjoyed that Hellblade 2 trailer, by the way. That was definitely not pre-rendered.
Yeah.
At least it doesn't look like that.
No, this actually looks real time.
This looks like a video game.
A really fancy one, though.
Yes.
Hot damn.
Holy shit. All right. What are you doing?
Apparently, Killer 7, a No More Heroes podcast on Wednesday instead of Thursday. And I don't know. We might stream No More Heroes 3, but I think Bob wants the sanctity of playing it by himself first. So we might dive bomb it personally and then. But who knows?
Who knows?
We have no idea. Hey, KZ, what are you up to?
I'm playing Two Human on my Series X.
No, I am not playing Two Human on my Series X.
That's good. You just played Vampire Raid. Why would you do both of those?
Yeah, I really don't know why I would ever do that without getting paid first. Because good Lord, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, no.
I played 3 games, TAC, Vampire Raid, and Operation Raccoon City. And Operation Raccoon City was the best one. By a factor of like 3.
Yeah, man, you really need a win.
Expeditiously, I need that win. I don't know. I'm gonna bounce some streaming. I'm working on some video stuff so that I can get back into that a little bit. Yeah, no, I don't have anything super specific on my mind at the moment. Field, dude, are you still working?
No, I'm streaming. I'm starting a AI tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I need to get you that stream deck now that I've moved and everything.
I would love to put horrible, stupid buttons on it.
Yeah, you should also put your dog on your stream deck. Like I have.
I've been collecting amateur voice actors to try and get commissions of certain things for a stream deck.
Oh my God.
Oh no. That sounds dangerous. You said you're starting AI?
Yeah, AI the Somnium Files. I hope right now we're at 1 really great game, 1 game I fucking hate, and 1 game that is really hacky but delightful.
Please be excited.
It's like what?
Please be excited.
What will he land on? Well, I think he's a hack at the end of this.
I don't know. You'll have to see it. It hit our top 10 for our game of the year that year. It actually went up a higher place than I had thought at the time. I won. It was pretty good.
Our top 10, he's the only one who played it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's how that list works.
Yeah, that was basically what happened with Feel with Disco Elysium.
Yep. Yeah, I forced that to 5th place.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, I have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just thinking about things that I couldn't get on the list. But anyways, that's everyone's thing we're doing over the next week. Go away and watch the podcast on Wednesday. And then tell your friends, and they better like it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support us, head on over to www.patreon.com/GBpodcast where you can get extra podcasts and early access to our anime podcast, Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool. Head on over there and become a $5 backer or a podlord today.